Barrow today. Education in Barrow, the coexistence of two cultures.
Now I'm going to put up a question here. What have we been doing to teach our children, our native people? What's the purpose? What are we teaching them? And what is our goal? Now, to answer that first one, we know that we are teaching them the non-native culture, the dominant culture, the Western culture. And this involves knowing the English language will make a person more effective in competing with the non-native. That's what we are going at, so that our people will be able to compete with the non-native. And if you're going to be effective in competing with them, that oral expression is a very important thing in a person. Communication, putting across what you think and sell that idea to the people. If you are good at it, I think that you are going somewhere.
To Harold Kaviluk, supervisor of the primary school and a native of Barrow, education means English fluency. Oral expression brings with it the ability to communicate and to compete with the dominant white culture. Barrow's classrooms recreate the typical atmosphere of classrooms in the lower 48 states. Teachers, usually non-Alaskans, stress the use of English and introduce students to the middle-class Caucasian culture. Standardized aptitude tests based on national percentiles are used to chart students' progress. An old villager describes the difficulties he had getting an education. Then the acting principal, Jim Hughes, will explain the present school facilities, and two junior high school students will tell about their classes.
When I little boy, I go to school, the field, because my adopted parents take me away from the school. I never learned very well. Now, right now, they got lots of teachers, that everything changed. Maybe, I don't know how many teachers I heard, maybe more than 30, more than that teachers right now.
My name is Jim Hughes. I'm the acting principal at Barrow. I've been here since 1966. I came up first as a teacher, later became the elementary supervisor, and since the death of our former principal in December, I've been in the acting position as the principal here at Barrow. We have grades kindergarten through ninth. We have 700 students at the moment. 20 of those are non-native. Our school is divided into, you might say, three or four different sections. We have a kindergarten, the old school, which houses grades 3, 4, and 5, a primary school, which holds grades beginners through second, and a junior high complex, which holds grades 6, 7, 8, and 9.
I'm Patrick Nackle. I'm a ninth grader. I'm taking PE classes. I'm on a tumbling team. I'm on a junior basketball league teams, senior leagues.
I'm Earl Canera, and I'm a ninth grader. I'm taking Inupiat, drafting, math, and so on.
Barrow people are taking active roles in education today. The school board is predominantly Native. Community people participate in a cultural enrichment class, and teaching aides from the village work with teachers in the classroom. Joe Uppickson, president of the Arctic Slope Native Association, expresses his ideas on education.
When I say that the Eskimo would like to have an education so that he can assume the roles of leadership, he can become an attorney for his own people and give them direction so that they can live within the laws of the land and protect their interests. The only way that we can have a melting pot is to get a lot of our own people in college so that they can mix in with the outsiders or Caucasians and start understanding and respecting each other's culture. What I'm saying really is that our people will not have anyone forcing their culture on them. There must be a mutual understanding and a mutual respect for one another's culture. This is the only way that we can get along.
Another thing is that I'd like to see more of our own people involved in teaching and education. Now, if you're going to be working with the people that you want to help, and in order to be effective in helping the people that you want to help, you have to know them intimately. And there is no better person than our own people. Knowing our own people, the way they live, the way they think, their culture, and what their aspirations are and things like that. I think that if we try to bring in more of our own people in the field of education, I think we will go forward more in having results in helping our people.
Yeah. All right, my name's Edward Hobson. Since this school was constructed, I've been approached by almost all, just about all the principals to get in the shop here. Without raising any hard feelings to the fellow teachers, the fellow staff members here, I feel I can put things a little better across to some of the kids where I have to use my own language. It seems to, when I explaining something, of course I use both languages. I use English mostly, except the time where I had been encouraged to use all the Eskimo language I can during classes, and I'm using both, I'd say 50-50. And it seems to, I find it that they seem to be at ease sometimes when I talk to them in Eskimo, explaining how to do things and how to use tools and things like that, you know.
My name is Frederick James Goo, and I'm the reading consultant and 8910 program director for Barrow. Most of our aides in Barrow here, with the out of 10, I would say we have two people who are not Inupiat speakers, but most of the aides are Native people, and they speak the language. One of the great things that we've seen is that after the teacher explains a certain lesson, a number of students get it. What bothers myself are the number of students who don't get it. And the aides have actually sat down with these students and explained in Inupiat exactly what was going on. This has a twofold purpose. It makes the learner understand in his mother tongue what the concepts are that the teacher is trying to get across, as well as gelling a concept in the aide's mind. If she can interpret this to a child in a foreign language, foreign to us that is, but in her mother tongue, the aide has learned a concept which she may not have gotten herself. And in many cases, the A's have really been turned on by education, something that is important for a person like myself, who's been here for 4 years, to see young high school graduates really, for once, turned on by this whole mysterious structure called the school.
Inupiat.
What's that?
Studying Eskimo languages and culture. Eskimo languages.
You learned something about that?
Yeah.
Don't you speak it already?
I speak it.
What do you have to go to class for?
I don't know all of the Eskimo words. Don't know what they mean.
What are you learning in that class?
Oh, I learned how to write a little bit and spell and pronounce them and say them.
Do you think the young guys, like 8th or 7th graders, should have the same class?
Yeah. I think it's good for them.
My name is David Fowski. I'm a teacher here at Barrow in the junior high school. We're presently involved in an informal and modest program of Eskimo literacy. What we're doing is, and have been doing the past year in the 9th grade, is simply learning the alphabet, learning to spell and to read and to write the language. We're at the point right now where if we're to continue the program, we very specifically need people who are verbally fluent and literate in the language to make it a success. Things are happening so fast, I think, in Barrow, that it's difficult for the parents and the community, the school board, to make decisions like this. On the one hand, they have an honest desire to preserve and protect their culture, and on the other hand is the constant exposure and motivation they get to identify with a dominant culture and to get as much as possible of the skills and trappings and frills that make a person acceptable and functional in the dominant culture. To make a practical statement, people are afraid that if we spend any time on Eskimo, that English will suffer. And it's very difficult to communicate the fact, I think the proven fact, that usually the converse is true, that intelligent instruction at the entrance level in the mother tongue, followed by intelligent introduction of a second language, a tool language, generally results in improved fluency in both.
Now the schools are getting too soft, I guess, for the kids. Because it wasn't this soft when I was going to school. I couldn't even speak Eskimo during school. Nowadays they're teaching Eskimo.
New programs in bilingual education and classes on Eskimo culture, as well as increased use of Inupiat in the classroom, indicate the new direction Barrow schools are taking. Improvements in the regular curriculum are slow, but some materials, such as the Alaskan Reader, are being developed. The need for English fluency still remains of chief importance. Education in Barrow no longer denies the importance of the indigenous culture. The coexistence of two cultures is bringing new relevance to the classroom. You have been listening to Education in Barrow, the coexistence of two cultures, the first of two programs on education in Barrow, Alaska's largest Eskimo community and northernmost city. Barrow Today was written and produced by Roger and Karen McPherson, with the support of the Alaska Rural Schools Project, Department of Education, and KUAC of the University of Alaska. The voices you have heard were those of Harold Kaviluk, Jim Hughes, students, Joe Upickson, Edward Hobson, Frederick Gu, David Fowski, and Nelson Avakana, and the music performed by Pete Sovelik's dance group. This has been your announcer, Jeff Kennedy. Join us next week on Barrow Today for a program on secondary education, crying all the time.
Barrow today. Secondary education, crying all the time. Although lacking in many experiences due to its remote location and environment, Barrow parents feel a regional high school is needed. Graduating ninth graders are annually sent to boarding schools and homes in Alaska, Oregon, and in Oklahoma. Students are away from home for 9 months of the year, causing emotional problems within families and individuals. Many students see high school as an opportunity to escape the small town life, but there are numerous adjustments to make. Many drop out of the unfamiliar school environment to return home to Barrow. A student describes his unhappiness with being sent away from home for 9 months, and then a parent who has sent six children out for their high school education offers his solutions.
For 9 years, I've been home. I've been up here three months out of a year for past 9 months just to go away from school, which I really didn't like. Right now, I'd just like to spend some time with my parents, because I don't really just spend time with them except during the summer.
No, I'm afraid to say that it would be better education if we have a local high school here with a regional high school. But I think it would be better for most families. The family can stay together better. Fine. I experienced sending six of my own kids from high school. Now they're all graduated, either Mount Iskum, Jimawa, and we'd even have to send one child, eighth grader, to Wrangell. And we didn't want to do it. Most of us people here, local people, would like to have a regional high school. Of course, this is what we've been hollering for the last few years. There's a lot of homesickness involved, and I don't care who they are. The only reason why we send our kids away from home is because we got no alternatives. We want to put them through education, and we have to send them out.
What made you decide to go to school in Anchorage?
I had some friends over there, so I wanted to stay with them and get to know them a little bit more. That's why I applied for Anchorage.
Did you have any problems with your education in Anchorage?
Yeah, I did. Some English they had. You know, I wasn't very good at English when I first went there. So I went to remedial reading, so I catched up, you know, with my work. That really helped a lot, remedial reading. It was pretty good.
How long were you in Anchorage going to school?
9 months. And last fall I was going back there, but then they couldn't find a home for me, so they just sent me home. And I'm here in Barrow now. It's pretty good, though. When you have yourself occupied, you know, when you're working or something, you have something to worry about.
Do you like being back in Barrow again?
Oh, not really. At nights, it's so dead, you know. There's nothing in town. You see every time you go out into town, you see the same face again. Oh, wow, that's really... I don't like it, you know. When I'm working, though, I enjoy it a lot, you know. I like my job.
What are you going to be doing next year?
I'll be going to school at Mount Edgecombe.
Maybe. Mount Edgecombe. If there's enough room.
You think you're smart enough?
Maybe. So. Not quite enough. Hard work down here.
You gonna come back after that? Back to Bill?
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I'm coming back.
What are you gonna major in?
What?
What are you gonna major in?
Swimming.
Swimming?
Yeah. I like swimming, playing in the water.
The problems of the present boarding school system of high school education are many. Loss of contact with family and village,
emotional stresses, mismanaged boarding homes, and out-of-date boarding schools.
It's not good for a lot of kids to be sent away like that, you know. You find, I don't know how to put this now, you sort of lost your contact or as they get older, you send them through 4 years of high school. By the time they graduate high school, they feel pretty big, you know. They come home and they seem to feel they're ready to go on their own. But it's not good, you know. If we were set up with a high school here, we can probably work up something like a lot of schools do, you know. They can be a student exchange program worked up. We might even get some students coming from the lower 48 that wish to attend a high school here, maybe the senior year. It's just too bad that we can't have something worked up where we can have this sort of an arrangement. It's a transportation problem too, you know, from here in Barrow. It's just to go to Fairbanks is quite expensive. We've sent something like, I don't exactly know how many, but I think we're just now close to 200, if not more than 200 students sent away from Barrow. And for the last, at least maybe 3 more years, is going to be increasing numbers going out.
Barrow does not have, at the moment, high school facilities. Once the students graduate from Barrow, they have a choice of attending either a boarding home program, or they can choose to go to one of the boarding schools. In the past 3 or 4 years, most of the students from Barrow have attended schools outside of Alaska, in Shamawa, Oregon, and Chilaco, Oklahoma. Last year, we ran into a problem of no space available in the two schools outside of Alaska, which meant that a large number of Alaska students, native students, were forced to attend, or not forced to attend, but had no other choice but to attend the boarding school at Mount Edgecombe. And unfortunately, there were more students than there was space. This year, we hope to alleviate this problem by getting applications in much earlier than has been done in the past. And again, this year, students, in consultation with their parents, will have the choice of attending either Mount Edgecombe or a boarding home program.
Would you please tell me your name?
Johnny Nusanginya.
How did you like your school in Barrow?
Oh, I liked it. I enjoyed it so much. I wanted to go back again. When I was in Anchorage, I sure wanted to go back to school over there.
Barrow envisions a regional high school located on the lagoon near town, equipped with all the necessary facilities to make the school meet the educational needs of the village. Such a high school is placed first in village priorities, but the Bureau of Indian Affairs has not yet prepared plans. Jack Chenoweth, Barrow City Manager, describes the high school Barrow people would like to have.
One other major need of the community is a 12-year high school. At the present time, the Bureau of Indian Affairs is responsible for education in this community, and the present school facility goes only through grade 9. The building, or buildings rather, were meant to house some 450 students. At the present time, the enrollment is 750, and the classrooms have spilled over into one old building, which has been condemned by the state, and a church hall, which is being donated by the Presbyterian Church for the kindergarten. Construction at the present time is on a piecemeal basis. That is to say, in any given year, a certain number of classrooms and related facilities are brought up and tacked on to the addition, to the existing facility. What the community, I think, wants is a full high school, taking into account grades 9 through 12, to relieve the overcrowding in the present facility and to provide education in Barrow for those students who want to go on to 12th grade and yet remain in the town with their families and their friends. Such a high school would have to have all of the facilities which you'd find in a high school in any other community: laboratories, secretarial and vocational equipment for training in those fields, perhaps a new gym or swimming pool, something to provide recreation for the children in the community, in addition, of course, to the regular set of classrooms, and particularly classrooms in the sciences and math. The city has provided an area of some 50 acres, setting it aside for the future development of this school.
You going to go to Mount Edgecombe next year?
Yeah.
Do you think you do well there?
Guess so.
Think you'll be homesick?
Maybe.
You'll be crying all the time.
You have been listening to Secondary Education, Crying All the Time, the second of two programs on education in Barrow, Alaska's largest Eskimo community and northernmost city. Barrow Today was written and produced by Roger and Karen McPherson, with the support of the Alaska Rural Schools Project, the Department of Education, and KUAC of the University of Alaska. The voices you have heard were those of Bart Asogeak, Edward Hobson, Johnny Nusunginya, teenagers, Jim Hughes, and Jack Chenoweth. And the music was performed by Pete Sovelik's dance group. This has been your announcer, Jeff Kennedy. Join us next week on Barrow Today for a program on the Arctic Slope, Eskimo Empire.